Hello. Welcome to day five of the Money Marathon and or the Money Matrix Magic Marathon. And today is, as I said, day five. And I just wanted to mention a little bit about what we and to recall what we did yesterday, and then we'll go on to today's clearings and positive habit or success habit. So yesterday we looked at working hard and how some of us are, in fact, probably most of us, are not able to take the full breaks that we need to rest and to recuperate, and that there's something in our past and also in the culture itself that is really puts the emphasis on working really, really hard and not taking breaks, and there's almost something that's virtuous about that, even though it's been shown not to be productive or helpful, and it has a bad impact on our health and well-being and joy. So we also talked about one way to stop that and to get more rest is just to take little joy breaks during the day. And these can be 2 minutes or 5 minutes or longer. So today we're going to be looking into the family and ancestral traumas that are impacting your money beliefs. And we're going to take some of these and begin clearing today. And there's probably a lot packed in there. Maybe some of you don't have maybe just one or two beliefs still there or there at all. But in general, because we inherit, we inherit old beliefs of our parents, and we're, often generations of trauma or things happening get passed down because they're never cleared energetically from the body, and the child picks it up. So what I'm going to do here is start getting you thinking about this and looking for it in your own life, and we'll do as much as we can to clear it, but just to alert you, we may even take a few days working on this, and you may just discover different things later on, but at least you're going to be alert to the possibilities. And what I've found with working with clients over the years is that these things in the family or even in their ancestors can be quite, quite important in holding them back from really coming into their own and shining their light in the world and being paid for it. Or holding on to the wealth that comes in, or receiving it, shall I say, because you don't really want to hold on to things that much. You want to have an ability to receive and then an ability to let go that's continually happening. So, yes. So, what I've also discovered, and I'm not a particular person who's been really, I would say I'm a bit of an agnostic. I don't have high beliefs in previous lives and things like that. And I have to say, for many years, I kind of used to laugh at people because I always used to hear these stories of, oh, well, I was Cleopatra or some really, high-ranking person, and the person is saying, I was that in a past life, and there seem to be a lot of Cleopatras along. But anyway, apart from that, what I have found with myself and with my clients is that there are, and who knows what it is exactly, and I know you may have differing beliefs, those who are on the calls, that past life or ancestral memories are impacting us and keeping us stuck often. And I'll mention a few that I've heard of or explored with clients. One is the witch hunts. Huge impact that's continuing today in the consciousness of our culture. You know, that was where healers and women and anybody who happened to be different were killed, burnt at the stake, or whatever, or other things. So tortured, and that remains in our consciousness. And I have done work with so many clients who are afraid to come out today as healers, in a big way, because they have memories of that in their subconscious. And so, in fact, I had one around being burnt at a stake as a witch, and which somebody else helped clear for me. And it actually cleared out a feeling that I'd always had of being an outsider. And who knows how much the so-called reality of whether it ever happened, but the fact was that when I cleared it, I cleared a huge thing in my life. So so I ask you to be open if that's something that you don't believe in, just to let whatever come. And whether it's your imagination or not, it doesn't matter. So that's just a few words on that. There's also, so what I'm going to do is walk you through a bit of an exercise here, where you think back to your parents and their background, and this should help you look at what could be possible things that are just being carried on today. And so I want you to look first back at your mother. And, you know, what's your mother's ethnic background? And, you know, I'm going to ask a whole load of things, like if you're Aboriginal, that would have an impact, as the absolutely, well, terrible policies of colonialism and genocide have carried through the generations and are still being felt today. So that could be impacting you and your ability to make money or to feel that you can really come out as yourself. I think also, you know, with for blacks, it's the whole history of slavery and then later segregation and all those different things. If you were Jewish, or your mother was Jewish or your father was Jewish, there's the whole impact of the Holocaust and also the years of persecution against Jews. And part of that persecution has been saying, well, they have the money and they're the money lenders and they're, you know, they don't have a right to this. And all sorts of prejudices about how they get money, so which you hear still today. And on the other side, there's the Palestinians. If you were Palestinian, the loss of homeland from the Jews. So the Irish here is I've had you know, people bring up the potato famine, which was a horrendous. Event in Irish history, and also so that could be back there. Now, actually, you can write while I'm saying this, you can put mother, father, and just under each column note down some of the traumas they may have been through. Now, also, for most parents, they will have been through one of the wars, if not both of them, you know, depending on how old you are. My parents, my father as a very little child experienced both the First World War and the Second World War, and along with that, the Great Depression. Those have huge, huge impact on us. And then now we're going to go to the women angle, where the crimes against women, the trauma against women, both, you know, in terms of this being a patriarchal society, and things like rape and incest and general lack of rights. So those are all in there in some way. And, okay. And they may be in a very, for some people, it's there may be a history of incest or rape or, you know, that happening in their family. Or so that brings it even closer to home and is much more traumatic, of course, rather than, you know, just knowing about it and having it around you. So, okay, I'm going on. There's also, just think back to any other family stories of great loss. You know, where something happened and they might have lost everything. For example, I know, well, both on my mother's and father's side is that they were fairly well off at one point, and then, or at least their family was, and then it crashed. One was because of the Depression, and the other one was just a business loss. And so they went from being quite, I think on my mother's side, one of her grandfathers was very wealthy, and that just crashed. So those will all have an impact on your money beliefs, believe it or not. So we can talk about that later in specific incidents. And then, so you've probably got a bit of a collection here. And I want to ask you also just to put down if you've had any past life memories, things that have come up. And so, for some of you, I mean, I guess the reason why I've been a little bit cynical is because I don't have very vivid recollections, but I know some people have had very vivid memories of past lives. And so you may be one of them. So just put those down. And, okay, so I've given you quite a lot of stuff there. So I'm going to let you have a moment more to think about it. And then maybe a couple of you could, if you don't mind, just bring up some of the stuff that may have come for you. And then we can start putting these things into the clearing. And that would be wonderful. So I'm just going to unmute the lines. Yeah, hoping I haven't overwhelmed you all with too many questions. So, is there anybody who would like to start? Silence. Oh, wow. Are you still busy scribbling?
Katie, it's Katrina.
Oh, good,
Katrina. This is actually, it's funny, you know, and I've certainly taken on exercises like this before, and I just kind of draw a blank because I was adopted, and for 20-something years of my life, I knew nothing about anything,
yes.
And no one explained anything to me, no one told me anything, and the people that adopted me divorced when I was very early, and my mother went to work, and my father disappeared, and so I really kind of raised myself. I know that sounds funny, but I had very little supervision, very little parenting, and I was never told stories about them. Like, I barely even knew, what my mother's family was like, because they died when I was young. So there was no storytelling and no real, you know, connection to lineage. So, I mean, I know a little bit now about my birth family, but very little. And so it's curious. It's a curious exercise for me. So I'm not sure how to mine the gold of this.
Right. Well, thank you for raising this, Katrina. And do you have, like, the only clue? I mean, the clues could be nationality,
which I don't
ethnic.
Know. I don't know.
Are, like, there may be some clues there, even if you know the very bare facts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know their ethnicity, my adopted parents, but I don't know mine.
Yeah. Well, they will have had an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were brought up by them very early. So if you know of anything of, you know, what they went through to be like they were, Like, do you have any guesses about that? Like, what was behind the divorce and things like that?
I think it was just pure overwhelm because there was the reason they chose adoption is because my mother wasn't getting pregnant, and then as soon as she brought me home, she got pregnant, and she got pregnant several times in a row. So there was four small children in a less than a four-year period, and I think it just blew their circuits.
Right. Well, that might be an interesting one to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think probably that shows some, I mean, the fact that they had to get divorced because too many children came could be have impacted you today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying about money,
mm-hmm.
but that it might be something to look at, you know?
Well, I do remember my mother saying to me, you know, you better behave. I paid good money for you.
Paid good money for you. Ooh. Now that's one to clear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're not, it's almost like you're a transaction.
Yes.
You know, that has to prove their value.
Mm-hmm.
So I might focus on that if I, you know, like that might be something that you could look at today. Or, you know, in the clearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we'll do, Katrina, do you have anything else, or I'll take up some other, you know, what comes up with other people?
I'm good, thank you.
For sharing that, because, yeah, that is a huge thing if you're adopted, is just not knowing what your origins are. And, yeah, as Katrina said, not being really connected to your lineage. So, anybody else like to say something?
Hello, it's Mary Helene here.
Hi, Mary. Helene.
Hi. Yeah, my a lot has come up for me regarding my mother. Well, the first thing is that she was born in 1907. At that point, women were classed with children and idiots as far as their rights to personhood was concerned, and there was a person's case in 1920, I think it was 28, something like that.
Yeah.
So she was not legally a person when she was born, and nor would, of course, her mother and, you know, all of her female ancestors going back a few generations in Canada. The other thing is that her mother lost a child before my mother was born, and that was a great tragedy in the family that we heard the story of many times. Then there was the just in her background, she came from her. It was on her father's side, the United Empire Loyalists.
Right.
And then back before that, there was some religious group. The story of religious persecution. I think it was a group in France, and they went to England and. Anyway, made their way over to North America. And then they were United Empire Loyalists and came from the U.S. to Canada. So there was displacement back in the family. Her father was very strict observer of religion, and he was also a philanderer, interestingly enough.
Right.
The phrase was, he flew around quite a bit. So, yeah, my mother had a lot of baggage. And I felt the effect of all of this, I think.
And what do you think were some of the beliefs that came out of this?
Well, there was no drinking and no playing cards on Sunday, and I think that phrase I mentioned the other day about the devil making work for idle hands,
yes,
probably came, you know, through her father. And so the money, I don't know, my family, it was there wouldn't necessarily be any more where that came from. So you had to really. My father lost his job right at the beginning of the Great Depression.
Okay.
And then, you know, he was without work for quite a while.
So I want to zero in on this. There wouldn't necessarily be more where that came from. And that's very important, because that is kind of like not trusting that things will come. It's sort of thinking that it's going to dry up. And I'm wondering, does that still impact you today?
I suppose quite possibly. I'm very concerned about my finances at the moment, which is, I mean, it's ironic because I worked as a teacher, and my husband did as well, though he's passed on now, and so I have pension money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We all went for kind of very secure jobs. My brother was a civil servant all of his working life, and he has a pension now. So I think this whole feeling of insecurity pushed us into work that would provide a pension that we could rely on after retirement. But I still do have that feeling that I shouldn't necessarily assume that it's all going to keep coming in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would probably be good to work on, right? Yeah, like put that into the pot today, because it sounds like, and I mean, I think this happens, even though you do everything to feel secure, unless there's that internal security, you're going to always constantly think, oh, well, something's going to, how would you say it, the bottom's going to fall out. And I know I've had that very strongly because of, you know, the backgrounds that my parents had, and even during our childhood where the bottom did fall out. And so even when I've had money, it's been, oh, my God, something's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Or why, actually, this may be for other people, but it was certainly for me, is why bother saving when you're going to lose it all in some Great Depression?
So I'm
mentioning these things so that people can just see what some of the conclusions you can draw. And or you know, as Mary Alina's done, you can always be going for what's safe rather than what really feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
And although, you know, sometimes you can have a secure job and you just love it and that's what you really should be there for. There are a lot of people and who get jobs purely on the basis that it provides them security and not on the basis that it really fulfills them. So that in itself is really hard on them because they're continuously doing something that they don't love.
Mm-hmm.
So, So, Mary Aline, anything else, or I'll just check and see if we've got any other things that people want to put in.
No, I think that's it, Katie. Yeah. I mean, my parents believed in hard work. They did work hard,
yeah.
And they saved, and they didn't overspend, you know. So they were very, what's that word, prudent or thrifty and,
right.
I think that's the legacy of the Great Depression.
Yeah, and there's some really good things about it, and then there's other things where it's like all of these things. Like thrift is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Saving is wonderful. Hard work is wonderful. But it's all in the balance, you know, because you need all those things. And yet, also the ability to spend on things that are really important to you
mm-hmm.
or to take the breaks, and or occasionally, I mean, for people to take a great, you know, to take a great risk in something, so that they can go forward. You know, there's all kinds of different circumstances where some of the very virtues we have can kind of turn against us. So, in the sense that they're too much in one direction. So anybody else want to thank you, Mary Aline. That was very helpful. And anybody else want to say something?
I have something. This is Maureen.
Oh, great.
Hi there. Katrina's discussion really opened something up in me. Thank you for that. I learned fairly recently, I mean, within the last couple of years, that I was adopted, the first one. And then the children afterwards were the woman that raised me. And what I've never related to their values, but I didn't come up with my own system. It's like my own system is more of a seat of the pants.
Yeah.
And it works, but it's like there's sort of a gap of looking at the steps of it. And part of that is growing up with people that had different values than I did and not thinking there was something was wrong with me instead of my values are different.
Right. And what do you mind me asking is what kind of values did they have that you didn't agree with? Or were different than yours?
It's like it's like pleasure, development, being a person. It's like those parts aren't part of their system, which is what I do with people. Like my work is increasing people's health, well-being. It's like, so what I do in my work is not valued to them.
Mm. And what was valued to them?
Stuff.
Okay.
So they're the people that take a vacation once a year to paint the house.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
You mean they don't take real vacations?
No, that's the vacation, and the vacation is more work than. So it's like they don't, they just collect stuff and maintain stuff and organize stuff and talk about stuff and how they got a great bargain on something, and the life is oriented around the stuff around them and the houses and the things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, on the other hand, are focused on development as a person, having pleasure and experience, it sounds like it.
Right, developing myself, experiencing, enjoying life. I have too much stuff. I sell it all. It doesn't. I don't want my stuff to define me.
Okay.
But
how do you think this has impacted your ability to keep, earn, or whatever, do whatever with money?
I think there's a hidden fear, or some little sneaky thing that says if I have too much stuff, it's going to control me.
Okay. Great.
And I know that's not true, but I think that's my little speed bump I'm hitting here.
Okay. Wonderful. Not the belief system, but good realization.
Oh, it's always great to unwind these. This is great.
Yeah. And so it's a hidden fear that if you have too much, it will control you. So in some ways, you can't fully enjoy stuff.
It's more like I have a set point.
Okay.
Where if I have enough money, then it's almost like I'm not allowing myself to have more.
Okay.
And I don't think there's even words on there. It's just, it's like a combination of the burning of the witches, and then it's like, okay, there's enough. Okay, I've got plenty. That's enough.
Yeah.
I've got my little jar.
Right. And there's something, you know, again, there's something good about having enough, you know, like actually saying at a certain point, I have enough.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into the, there's something else here. I'm trying to pinpoint here, and if I take
feel
a moment,
it too. Yeah.
So because it's based on fear, and you know, fear that what that it will control you. So in a sense, that fear is controlling you now. And I'm wondering, how would you find, if you think about it, what's it stopping you from doing? Other than having more stuff, but is there something it's stopping you from enjoying? Is something stopping you from doing your life purpose?
It's kind of, it's not stopping those things, but I think I'm making them smaller than I know is right now.
Okay, right.
So, but all my work throughout my life has always been word of mouth. Other people promote me. I have plenty of work, and I feel like I need to, it's like I need to take charge of that. I need to promote myself. I need to, it's like I don't have any complaints. I'm just ready to come out in a different way.
Right.
And I think what it is I pull these, it's like, I think there is a, if I'm doing my work, people will promote me. And if I'm not doing my work, then I need to go learn something. And I think, maybe in part, but I think there's something hidden in there that, and also part of not wanting to, yeah, there's a little hairball in there. I don't want to open all of that right now, but it's more promoting myself. Yeah.
Okay.
Figuring out what I want to do in organizing it instead of having somebody hire me to do it.
Okay. So it's preventing you from coming out in a really big way and having an even bigger impact on the world.
No. That sounds,
promoting yourself.
This sounds too scary. I think you're right there. Like, right. Yeah. Making myself available. I've not been making myself available. Like, it's time.
Yeah. And I hear almost a catch in your throat right there. You know,
it's not an almost. I'm ready to choke and cough and, you know.
Sorry?
It's not an almost. It's there.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. So thank you for sharing that. And what I'm going to do now is we're going to start on the different ones, and we'll sometimes things seem fairly how would you say it? When, you know, with a number of different people having contributed, they may seem like issues that are completely different. And it's interesting how they weave together. So I'm going to do a clearing. And then I'm going to, and we'll see what happens there, and then we'll get to each of your things. It's just I'm not sure in what order. So let me see. I'm looking over a little bit where we started at with Katrina about not knowing the parents. And, okay, so... okay, well, I'm going to, and then with Mary Aline, that things wouldn't necessarily, more wouldn't come. And then your fear of just going way beyond what you feel comfortable with in terms of income, and that you might misspend it on stuff and that it would control you. So let's see what happens.
Katie?
Yes?
It's Mary Aline. I have something else come up. I don't know if it's appropriate to add it right now.
Just put it in, because then we'll remember it, or at least today, for tomorrow.
Well, it was the memory of when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I thought I was being quite resourceful. I wanted some money to buy candy, and there was some empty pop bottles in the garage, and I decided I'd go and get some of them and sell them, like turn them in for a refund. And my mother found out. She saw what I was doing, and she gave me a beating. It seemed like being resourceful wasn't a good idea. and that I had to be a good girl in some way other than being resourceful to get money.
Excellent, yeah. So that would seem not being a good idea. So that's being, you know, resourceful, creative.
Mm.
Yeah. That is very creative. I mean, it's like, hey, you know, you're taking your own initiative and you're seeing another way that things can be recycled that aren't used. And
mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, that's a great one to clear. And we'll see how things come here. So thank you, Mary Elaine. So I think I'm going to now put the lines on mute so that I can do the clearing. And people, you can use either EFT if you know it well, or, you know, tap the different sides of the body as in the Wii technique, which is, so just tap the, the easiest one actually for this kind of thing is the left and right eyebrow. Just get your two fingers and tap them alternatively if you don't feel like doing the EFT or don't know it well enough. Okay, so I'm just going to go deep a little bit to see what to start with. Even though there's so much packed up in my ancestry and in my family and I don't know where to start, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though there's so much there that I don't even know about, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I sometimes despair about ever letting go and releasing all the stuff in my past, I deeply love and accept myself. I really don't know my past. I don't know my past. I don't know my past. It hurts me. It hurts me that I don't know my past. I don't know my history. It's just hurting me not to know my history. Deep down aching to know where I connect with the past, with which ancestor, with which line. I feel in a nowhere, nowhere land, not knowing who my real parents were, not knowing who my real parents really were, and if they were anything like me. I feel like, I don't know what I feel like. I feel like something is missing because I don't know this. I don't know this. Something is missing. And yet it all is there, deep, deep below. It all is there. Even for me who knows my parents and knows there's history, there's deeper and deeper levels that I'm accessing and releasing. For truly we are the generation that is letting go of generations of pain and trauma. Truly we are the generation who's going to do that and our generation. Stopping what has been handed down, finding new ways, discovering who and what is our history, discovering the hidden history, the history that nobody could be bothered to tell us, as well as the history that was told to us again and again and engraved in our memories. Letting go of feeling like a transaction, only worth what they paid for. How much did they pay for me? Am I going to show them I'm only worth that value? Because it wasn't very much, particularly when you talk about today's values. How much did they pay for me that I'm supposed to be a good girl all my life? Am I only a transaction? Or am I only somebody brought in because they couldn't have what they really wanted? They couldn't have what they really wanted, a biological child, a child of their biology, of their lineage. I never was that. I never was that. And I felt that every day of my life. I felt outside, 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 not part of. Okay, so that was the first round, which I believe could have talked a little bit to Katrina and Maureen. I'll just take any comments and then we'll keep tapping. Let me see, I'll have to get you off the, oh my goodness, here we go. Yeah, I have to get the lines clear. Anybody like to, anything come up further? Okay, so I'm going to, I'm seeing a little bleep on Katrina. Katrina, are you, were you trying to say something?
You know, I just had an insight, and I believe that the amount of money that my parents paid for me, because I was a gray market adoption, I wasn't fully legal. I wasn't
okay.
Illegal.
Could you talk a little louder?
I was just having an insight, and I swear I remember them telling me once, you know, what it cost them.
Yeah.
And I believe now that the cap on my income is exactly that amount.
Oh, my God. Ooh. Wow. So, well, we're going to see if we can just release that here. Anything else, Katrina?
No, I just want it to be done.
Yes, okay. And anybody else want to say something before I go into the next level?
Thanks for sharing that, Katrina. That's huge. For me, it's triggering something deep in me too. This is, yeah.
Well, isn't it something that the two of you were on the call today for that to come out? So, and thank you so much for you both sharing about that, because that's a very, very sensitive point, I know. So, I'm gonna just go right now and do some more on that particular point of being the cap on the income, and that you're just worth that, even though I was sold like a slave. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Just go with it. Even though I was sold to my parents for an amount and my income is capped to that, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though my whole being has been defined by a transaction of money, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though my worth has been compared to what was used to make the adoption, I deeply love and accept myself. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling pissed. I'm feeling really angry. How could I, as a human being, be defined by my adoption price? How have I allowed that to be used to define me? How am I defining myself according to the price that was paid for me? I am not a price. I'm priceless. A human being is priceless. How can they put money for a human being? How can a human being be valued by money? What is it that's leading me to value myself or devalue myself through money? Money has nothing to do with my value. Why am I so priceless? Why am I so wonderful? Why am I so amazing? And why am I able to make 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, or whatever times I want to, even though I was adopted? Even though I was adopted, I am a fully valuable member of this human race. Even though my family of origin never took care of me and I feel abandoned and left, I deeply love and accept myself. I deeply love and accept myself, and the universe loves me and God loves me. And all the things that I've told myself about myself, all the things I've told myself about myself because of this story of adoption. What is it in this adoption that I gained? What is it that I gained by not having my birth parents? What are the strengths and the amazing superpower abilities I have because I was abandoned? Pretty amazing. And now I want to reclaim my right to be part of this universe, to be part of everything, not to feel apart, not to feel apart from other people because of the way I was paid for, not to feel apart from other people because I was not raised by my birth parents. Okay, there we go. I'll just take a little bit extra, see if anybody wants to say anything, and get this off. Okay, anything else come up there? Okay. So I'm going to go to the next clearing, and I may just go to, actually, and what I'm going to do is I may just go to the thing that Mary Elaine brought up, which was that there's not necessarily going to be more money. It's a little bit of a different, a little different belief, but I think we can clear it, and then at the end we'll do the healing codes just to, for both of them. Okay? Anything that anybody wants to add before I go on? Okay, so I'm going to... Here we go. Deep breath. Take some water. And here, let me see. So, even though I've always heard that I'm not going to have enough, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like the bottom's going to drop out, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like there's not more coming and that I have to hang on to what I got, I deeply love and accept myself. Better have a secure job. Better do everything right or you're just going to lose it. You have to do it right. You have to do it right. You have to spend right. You have to spend right. You better do it right. You better do it right or you're going to lose everything. And don't take any chances. Don't even take chances on selling some bloody pop bottles. I mean, can you believe it that she actually told me I shouldn't have done it? Can you believe it? I can't. I still can't. I mean, that was so smart. They don't want smart. They didn't want smart money. They just wanted secure money. They didn't want me to use any of my creativity in making money. They just wanted me to do the same as what they thought was secure. And it wasn't really secure because I never really felt secure. I always felt the bottom would drop out, the bottom would drop out, and that I would be left without money, without money, without money, and without a life, without having lived what I really wanted, what was inside. I'd be left without living what was inside. Okay. So what I'm going to do now, actually, is I'm going to go straight into the healing codes, and then I'll get any feedback at the end, because we're getting up to the time. So I'm going to say, I pray requests that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to my family history around money and the beliefs I have around that, and even the family history that I don't know, that this be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the great creative force. And I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. And so you can focus on just a truth statement, a statement that is positive but feels like real. Could be that I am now able to earn what, or I'm now able to step into the world and be fully myself, receiving all that will be given. Or whatever feels appropriate for you. And or it could be, I can use my creativity to create wealth. Okay, so just choose one statement. That can be something really simple. Really simple one isn't coming to me right now, so I'll leave that one to you. So here we go. In between the eyebrows, focusing, cupping the hands and focusing the energy in between the eyebrows. And breathing deeply. And then down to the throat, I'm able to express myself fully. And then the sides of the jaw. And then the side of the temples. And then in between the eyebrows. And I'm getting the statement, I'm a jewel whose value cannot be determined, who is truly priceless. And then down to the throat, deep breathing deeply in and deeply out. And then the side of the jaw. And then the side of the temple. Finding the healing energy to each side of your temple. Knowing that you can heal yourself. With all these family histories and ancestral traumas. Takes time, but it's well worth it. And only a fraction of time compared to what you're clearing. A tiny microsecond of time to clear centuries and eons. And knowing that some of the things that are deep in the subconscious and that haven't come out yet will be coming as you journal, as you go through your life. So now you're going to put your hands on top of the head, just for a few moments, on top of your crown, one on top of the other, and then let it go, and then come into the room. Yes. Okay. I'm going to take it off so that you can actually talk. And let me see. Here we go. I'm going to get off mute. And if any of you are still in talking, are able to talk, please just give me a little feedback on what happened with that. Anybody want to just say a few words? You can't say any words because for some reason you're still... okay, I think I've unmuted all of you. So
there we are. It's
good.
Mary.
Sorry about that. I had got it off. Oh, I see. I see what I did. Okay, so would somebody like to start?
I'm Mary Lean here. Yes, that phrase that they wanted secure money, not smart money, it just went right to the core of my issue there, and I think that was very, very helpful. I felt tremendous recognition of what the belief was, and that it's now been punctured because of the way you put that. Katie. Well, thank you.
Well, and I think in this next period of your life, you're going to be really breaking from that belief and showing what you're truly capable of. I've seen, I feel like I've seen the tip of the iceberg on about your talents, and there's really... and already it shines brightly, so imagine.
This is wonderful to be feeling like I can grasp fulfillment. It's really a treasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Aline, for sharing all of that. And anybody else like to say a few words? Anything else that's happened, or just what you're coming from this session with?
It's Katrina. Hi, I just want to thank you so much for all of that. It was wonderful, and really getting to the root of being a jewel. I love that.
Well, you are, and thank you. Anything else? Anybody else?
This is Maureen. I'm just really appreciating what you've done, and Katrina, I'm appreciating you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, it's so wonderful having you on the live call, and you're helping bring up also the issues that will certainly be with some of the people who are listening to this call. So thank you for, you know, having the courage and to share these things and to let them be open so they can be released. I would just want, I'm going to take a moment to discuss the positive habits for today. And it's, in fact, I don't even feel ready to, but I'm going to put it out because it's there, and we'll maybe discuss it further tomorrow. But what I was going to say, one of the positive habits that you can have, one of the success habits you can have, is actually watching your language and how you describe yourself or say things about what you're doing or the possibilities. So, for example, is anything that you put off to the future, I think we mentioned this on previous calls, that I'm going to be wealthy in the future, or I'm going to really come into my own in the future. Much better to say, I'm creating... You know, I'm creating money now, even if it's a tiny bit, or I'm realizing my potential right now. I'm in the process of it. I'm actually still in my other mode, so words are not so easy. In terms of actually, words are easy when I'm doing the work, which is of clearing, but it's coming from a different source than this. So just a few other things on language, and I think there's a lot that can be said here. I just don't want to overwhelm, and I'll come back to it at the beginning of tomorrow's call. But the whole thing about, you know, there's language like I'll try, which is not something, which means that almost that you won't succeed, instead of I'm going to do that. There's I should, which everybody knows is when you say I should, it means like it's an injunction. It's not something that you really feel you want to do, but you feel you're obliged to do. So it's just watching those things that you're saying during the day. Like if you're saying I should do this, then just write it down, even what you should do, and see whether it is really something you want to do or need to do, or if it's just an old injunction that you've heard in the past. And that's probably a lot around our work ethic, is that we've got a lot of shoulds, that we should have the do certain things all the time. And for some of us, it's not particularly with me. I mean, there's some people who their house just has to be so sparkling clean and, you know, free of dust and everything, that they can spend so much of their life energy on that. And that's a should. And, of course, you know, there's lots of other shoulds that, you know, I should do in the, I know as a, when you have a small business, there's so many shoulds, like, you know, this coach says you should do this, and this business coach says you should do Facebook and or do live calls or webinars or whatever. And really, you have to dive deep in yourself to feel out what really is good for you and what you need to be doing to get yourself out in the world. So I'm going to leave it for there, and thank you, everybody, for your very deep sharing. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Katie.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. You're a wonderful group. Mm-hmm. So, bye-bye then.
Goodbye.